a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, yeah, I know. It's not the normal time for fish bites, but this is when we had to fit it in because this is going to be an epic interview with Navi. Okay, all I have to say about this is, you know, if you can think about the greatest place you could go fishing, where would you go?
Greatest place to go fishing? Yeah. That would be Alaska.
But... right? See, now I thought that too. But maybe one of the most epic places is where Navi went fishing this time. Here it is. Check it out.
I'm excited that we have found a way to connect to Sri Lanka. Yes, you heard me right, Sri Lanka. And that is where a member of the Navadamskas family, who sometimes acts as a sky call scout for us out there in the world somewhere, joins us. That's Mickey Navadamskas, and it sounds like you are just having a ton of fun.
It's been an amazing time. I've done a lot of cool trips in my life, and this one's well on its way to being number one.
This is a lengthy one, too. You took like a month off work, didn't you?
3 weeks, I think 24 days total, 21 days here on the island. So I'm about 14 days in.
And you guys have been working on this itinerary, this plotted plan for quite a while.
Yeah, we got the tickets in February, and we've kind of been crafting it ever since. So it's a long time coming.
How close to the end of this trip are you right now?
I think it's day 14, 7 days out, one more week, essentially.
All right. I need to hear in a minute about your mode of transportation, because I guess that's been kind of the topic almost on a daily basis, whatever this Tonka Tanka thing is you're driving.
It's a tuk-tuk.
Oh, a tuk-tuk.
Yeah. So it's a three-wheeled motorcycle is the best way to describe it, but it's got a little shack on the back, and we pack four people in it. It's a tight squeeze, and there's no doors. But it's a cool way to get around and interact with the locals while you drive by.
Well, your dad was telling me that it's taken a fair amount of care and feeding itself along the way. Like, you have to make sure it's oiled up or something.
Yeah, we got some instructions on how to take care of them, and we're kind of afraid of a tuk-tuk breakdown in the middle of nowhere. So we get its oil changed, and it's lubed up and greased various parts. And it's working great so far. I'm knocking on wood, though, because, yeah.
So is that like an Uber tuk-tuk or a Hertz Rent-A-Tuk-Tuk, or what is it? How did you hook up with the thing?
So in crafting the itinerary, you know, we're looking at things to do and ways to get around, and we were planning on just kind of these long-distance buses. And then we found what was this Australian guy who, for whatever reason, came to Sri Lanka, fell in love, and thought he should start renting out tuk-tuks. So if you ever need a tuk-tuk in Sri Lanka, there's one guy in Colombo who rents them.
All right. Take me back to the beginning of this. How do you get there, first of all? Because it's not like, you know, you get on the plane in Salt Lake City and you land in Paris or something.
Yeah, we're about as far from Salt Lake as you can be. It's 11 and a half hour time difference, so opposite side of the world. But we flew to L.A., then to Tokyo, then to Singapore, then to Sri Lanka.
Holy cow. So the entire travel time was what?
I want to say 38 hours, but I really didn't look at that number too much. I just kind of took a lot of Advil PM and hoped for the best.
There you go. Smart man. All right, so you guys hit the ground running. There's four of you doing this. What kinds of activities were you specifically looking for?
So it's been pretty diverse. Surfing was definitely on the radar, and where we are now is kind of like the surf focused portion of the trip. But the island is crazy diverse. I mean, we're at sea level now. 2 days ago, we were 7,000 feet. They have elk up there. And now we're down with the elephants. So we've been playing in the ocean, swimming, snorkeling, a little bit of fishing, surfing. And then the mountains is just hiking around, interacting with the locals, seeing the sights, and eating a lot of rice and curry.
Yeah, I'll bet you are. Your dad was also telling me you were surprised at how cool the temperatures were up at that higher elevation.
Yeah, I mean, coming from Utah, I was picturing islands and coconut trees, and that was the case. But the mountains are cold. I brought two light jackets, and I was wearing both of them. Part of this you have to remember is I'm in a tuk-tuk, so there's no doors. And if there's wind and rain, there's wind and rain on your face.
Yeah.
So, but it's a cool island. It has more than you would think.
Describe, I mean, you mentioned that you thought it was going to be palm trees and coconuts. Describe what people would see if they came to Sri Lanka.
Well, that's not entirely incorrect. Where I am now, it's beautiful waves, coconut trees. And then as you move up, there's like a lot of tea fields, about 5,000 to 7,000 feet. High tea fields, like vegetable farming, and then full-on mountains. They have some mountains here. You look at them and you would think King Kong lives here. It's like misty jungle that turns to pine trees. I've never thought I would see a pine tree here, but they exist just above the coconuts.
Can the tuk-tuk get you to those spots, or did you have to do a lot of hiking?
No, knocking on wood, but this tuk-tuk, if I could take one home with me, I would, because they're a pretty fun way to get around, and they've climbed some steep, steep hills, some things that I was exhausted walking up, so I'm impressed.
Yeah, you mentioned fishing was a part of this, which I guess has to be. If you're a member of the Navadamskis family and you go somewhere in the world, you got to take a fishing pole with you. Have you had any success over there? And if so, for what species?
Success has not happened yet. We haven't really fished much, lugging around 10 weights. But we've been snorkeling with like a lot of sharks and things. We're talking to the locals who are all like netting and bait fishing. But we've just been so swamped with activities. I think we only fished maybe 2 hours one day and didn't know what we were doing, didn't catch anything.
All right. So not much of a story to tell there. Did you pack flies and everything with you?
Oh, yeah. I've got my dad actually put together this like sushi roll of flies. So we're well loaded on flies. I think the coming week will be on the south part of the island. A little more fishing focus, so maybe I can give you an update later. But lots of rods, lots of flies. We should be good to go.
I also understand that you yourselves, four of you packed in a tuk-tuk with a little lighter skin than the locals, are quite an attraction just in driving through.
Yeah, I mean, first off, the locals are amazing. Some of the nicest people you'll ever meet. But yeah, we get lots of laughs. Everybody, I've probably waved to 1,000 people in the last 2 weeks. But some people are just in complete shock, especially when we're, you know, away from any kind of tourist area. They've never really seen a sight like us. So it's fun for both of us, I think.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. A couple of years ago when I made a trip to Shenzhen, China, or maybe it was Guangzhou, but I made a side trip to Zhangjiajie, which was the inspiration for James Cameron's floating mountains in Avatar. And my guess is not many Americans anyway make that trip. So I was quite the attraction when I was making my way through some of those forested areas myself, and everybody wanted to get a picture with me. So I kind of know what that feels like.
Oh, I believe it. We've been in a lot of selfies. We have one blonde kid with us, and he particularly attracts the selfies.
Ah, I'll bet he does. All right. Were you a surfer before you went on this trip, or who inspired that?
I've been a wannabe surfer all my life. You know, growing up, we did quite a few Hawaii trips, and I actually own a board back in Utah. It's not here with me now, but I've dabbled here and there in the Baja and things. But I don't claim the word surfer yet.
All right. And by the way, the tuk-tuk with the surfboard strapped on top is quite a sight in and of itself. So you had to rent the surfboards too.
Yes, and in this part of the island, it's kind of known amongst mostly the Australian surfer community. So we were able to find some boards, and we've strapped them on top of the toque.
So has this trip been everything you thought it was going to be, more or less? Describe it for us.
Everything and more. I mean, every day is like a completely new surprise. A lot of times you wake up, you think you're going to do one thing, and you end up in an entirely different place doing something far cooler than you even planned. So it's been fantastic, and I expect nothing less going forward.
It sounds very diverse, and one of the pictures I saw posted on, I think it was Instagram, was the toque with the surfboards on top and stopping to take a gaze at an elephant in a field next to you. Those are three things you don't usually think or see in the same photo.
No, exactly. I think we've driven past an elk and an elephant in the same day. And yeah, surfboards on the roof. It's a bizarre place. It's got some of the desired attributes of Southeast Asia and South Asia. It's awesome, really.
Wow, that is so cool. Real quick, what about language barriers? What language do they even speak there?
So the two main languages are Tamil and Sinhalese. I speak neither, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a former English colony, so English is pretty well known. And I kind of think because there were two original languages, English emerged as useful to everyone. So I've been really, really impressed with how much English is spoken here. It's not like Europe where, you find people with stupendous English, but everyone has a couple words and they're more than happy to pantomime with you.
Yeah, I've been there, done that in some far reaches of the world too, but never to Sri Lanka. Mickey, this is fantastic. I'm so glad we found a way to connect. And by the way, for those listening at home, this is via Skype in one of our more technologically advanced studios here at KSL. And I thank Eric Openshaw for helping to facilitate this. The other cool thing about this trip is your dad, has so many bragging rights and tales to tell, like Gulliver's travel of being everywhere in the world. And yet you have found a couple of spots that he has yet to go. I like that.
Yeah, he's got a laundry list, so evading him is tough to do, but I'm doing my best.
All right, buddy. Be safe. Have some fun. I hope you catch some fish in these final days.
Sounds great. We'll give you an update in a few.
All right. Mickey Navidauskas, man, I'm glad we made this connection. We will take a quick break, send it back to Joe Davis, and have more of KSL Outdoors Radio here in just a minute.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And you're back on KSL Outdoors with Joe Davis, Steve Heumann sitting in with me as well, and we're just going to make this a whole lot more fun right now.
Oh, I hope so.
I can guarantee it. As if it weren't already, just hearing about Mickey's trip to Sri Lanka, I want you to help plan your own trips to go and do something exciting. Figure out what you want to do. Where do you want to go in the world? And I know the guy to do it. It's Hutch Hutchinson from Orvis. Hutch, are you there? See if we can get him on the line here. We're just trying to get things connected over there in the control room. So let's see. Hutch, are you there? All right. We might have to do that again here in a couple minutes. So we'll see. We're trying to make sure he's on the line.
While we're waiting, Joe, where would you want to go?
Yeah, I knew you'd ask me that. Okay. Honestly, I'd just like to find the place that my dad took me when I was a kid. That's where I'd like to go.
Okay, where is it?
It's hard
to find it.
It's on the little bear. It's on the little bear up in between Logan and Tremonton. You see, I said that just like a Utah too. Tremonton. Yeah. So it was in a farm area. I remember this
on the river.
Really little. Yeah.
Okay.
We had to take a dirt road, and I remember we had to cross a little wooden bridge that often was kind of scary. And, there were pieces falling off and the tire might get caught for a second. It was interesting for sure. Right. Especially as a little kid. I took him, or my dad took me and we went across this little river and, the fishing right there on the little bear, I caught, what arguably was at that time the largest catfish in Utah that year. And, you know, I got a little trophy and the whole thing, right? So I'd like to go back to that very same place, the place where he and I pulled back some, you know, some brush to go through and, oh, whoops, there's some skunks. We don't want to go that way. And, you know, all the little things that happen to you when you're a little kid with your dad going fishing.
Well, that's the thing about all of these outdoor experiences is that it comes down not necessarily to catching the fish or anything like that. It comes down to the memories that you're building.
Right.
Just like with what you just said, you have a specific place and a specific moment in mind.
Yeah.
And you want to go back to that moment. And you want to take your kids to that moment. And that is what makes outdoor adventure so special. Because, you probably as a kid sat there on the river bored at some of the moments because there was no fish or whatever. But that's not what you remember. You remember this pristine moment in your life.
Yeah.
And that's what I love, because you get that when you go on outdoor adventures.
Yeah. And your kids don't get that when you don't, which is maybe, I mean, there's just a lot of things that just don't happen. Like that connectivity that, you know, and I have to tell you, I was actually one of those kids that was completely engaged in the activity. I mean, down to, you know, I remember cast, you know, learning to cast and all of that. And this is all by the age of 8, by the way. My dad was gone by the time I hit 8. So this is a very compact period of time, but everything happened in there. And I remember it all, really. I remember losing, countless times losing my lure and my bobber and everything to a big fish, right, that we were always trying to catch. And then I caught him, you know, proverbially caught him. And that was where it all was. That was the adventure. So we're going to try to reconnect here. I'm going to see if I can get our board up to help me out with just another try here. And I'm not sure which one to bring up on the board in here, but we'll see if we can get him on the line here. So, Hutch, are you with us? Can you hear us at all? Hutch? Nothing. All right. Well, in that case, we'll try to get that figured out on the commercial break while we're doing news coming up here in just a minute. But all right, I want to hear your favorite place. Where is it,
Okay,
Steve?
Mine would be Alaska.
Yeah.
Just because, for me, when it comes to fishing, you know, a lot of people, they love that being just sitting there tranquilly and experiencing. That's not me.
No.
I like the action. And so fishing
You're high
in Alaska,
adventure
I am
guy.
High adventure.
Yeah.
I always have been. And so for me, if I'm going to go fishing, well, I want to catch the fish and I want to eat that fish. That's who I am. And going to Alaska, you have that opportunity because we went up 10 years ago right now. So 10 years ago right now, I was in Alaska. I was out the icy straits out of Juneau and we were fishing out of Doc Warner's.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And it was the most amazing experience. Because first of all, it's beautiful. You're seeing bears. You're seeing bald eagles all over the place. Whales. We saw, you know, humpbacks and killer whales, the whole shebang. We saw all of it.
Wow.
And then you're trolling and you're just pulling out fish and you're pulling out. We were there in August, obviously. So it was silver season. So we're pulling out silvers and we're just catching
one after another,
one after another.
Yeah.
And so that was obviously, you know, that's top notch. But again, going back to the experience of it, of being on that boat with friends and laughing and talking and having moments where you're not catching anything and where you're just, you know, talking to each other and laughing and then going back to the lodge. And I remember, because I was filming for leisure at the time, so I was filming different things. I remember going back to the lodge and one of the guys, Roger B., who some of the listeners may know about, who are into Dutch oven, he was on that trip. And I remember walking upstairs to one of the rooms, one of the like communal rooms where you would eat and just have meetings and stuff. And he's asleep on the couch. And just filming him while he's asleep and that sort of stuff. Again, it goes back to the experience.
Yeah.
It goes back to having a place and a time in your life that you would love to go back to. And I've always wanted to take my sons on a fishing trip like that, because we'll go to Fish Lake and we'll fish occasionally. And I've always wanted to take them on an epic trip where they have those types of memories with me, where they're pulling out these big, you know, 15-pound salmons. And where they're seeing this stuff, and they were hiking through the subtropical rainforest and things like that. That's the type of experience that I want them to have. And obviously, you know, an Alaska trip, you're gonna have to save up for that. And it's going to be, you know, a once a decade probably trip, but you can still get those now, just by going out to your local pond, getting your kids their fishing license. Right. If you're younger than 12, they're
somewhere,
free.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're younger than 12, obviously it's free. And you've got different ponds just here in the valley, different streams. It's something that I always invite everybody to go and do because of the fact that it's such a special experience to have your kids out in the outdoors as they're trying to fish. And when they reel in that first fish.
Oh, it's such a big deal.
Oh, my gosh. The look on their face.
The first fish is the ultimate. That moment, like you said, that's a memory, right? We have lots of memories, but the ones that really are going to stick out, you know, if your life was flashing before your eyes, as they say, that's part of that flash, right? Yeah. That's what you see. And you know, for me, I don't know. I seem to absorb a lot more detail than I think a lot of people, but I don't think that matters. What matters is the fact that there's something there that will be triggered by a smell or by a thing or something, always it's going to come back. Some little thing might trigger it and you're going to have that opportunity to feel that again. That's what I want.
And that's exactly what, when you're talking about going and fishing with your dad, that's exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. I remember a few years ago, I took my family and we hiked Canaraville Falls, which is just south of Cedar City. Yep. It's a wonderful hike. It gets fairly packed in the summer because it's very well known, but it's a slot canyon hike where you hike through a river. And it was a much harder hike than I remembered it being. And, you know, I pushed the kids pretty hard. But at the end
that's
of the day,
that's what dads do.
It crushed them. I remember holding my little kid, but they remember that to this day because they felt so accomplished at the
Steve,
end.
Steve, that's there you go. You feel accomplished. We're going to accomplish a commercial break and, of course, what KSL does best. News, traffic, and weather. It's coming up right here. You're listening to KSL Outdoors.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.